flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk. Man, oh man, what a difference a week makes around these parts. Last week we were staring at some white stuff all over the ground, and now it's air conditioning's running for everybody. Wild weather here in New Orleans for sure. Just happy that everyone has made it through the snow all right, and it is gone. Speaking of gone, the Pelicans win streak gone. They lost last night 137-136 Dallas Mavericks. Tough one in the Smoothie King Center. The losing, I should say, continues for the Pels after they had a 4-game win streak, have now dropped 4 in a row. The game last night, man, oh man, I don't think any defense was played. They were exchanging blows back and forth, and the Dallas Mavericks just seemed like every single shot went in for them, especially 3-point range was ridiculous, with the Mavs making 23-pointers on the night. You had a great night from guys like, you know, Trey Murphy, Zion Williamson, DeJounte Murray, CJ McCollum, all putting up 21-plus points in the game, but they still weren't able to close out things in the Smoothie King Center against the Dallas Mavs. Pels now 12-36 on the season and 8-17 at home. We are a week away from the NBA trade deadline, and you heard Charlie in the Sports Flash talking about how many people feel like it's not just maybe a deal gets done, it's pretty much what deal is going to get done with this team, and Brandon Ingram definitely being a highlight of whatever package might be going somewhere. We've heard a few teams might in the rumblings might be interested to acquire him, San Antonio being one of them, just interested to see what's that package like in return for a player that we just haven't seen in forever dealing with an ankle issue. Coach Willie Green was asked today again about Brandon Ingram at practice and basically said, hey, he's doing some non-contact drills, but nothing really a significant update on BI right now.
Still an ankle sprain.
Still sprained.
I mean, it's been, what was it, December 7th was when it happened, Steve? So we're going on nearly 2 months with him being out with an ankle sprain. But this is BI's thing, isn't it? And I hate to keep kind of harking on it, but whenever he's injured, he takes a long time to come back. Like, DeJounte Murray broke his hand in the first game of the season, and he worked his behind off to get back on the court.
Well, you see a dude like him, too. Every week he's been on the injury report, and he's still playing, though.
He's always probable, and then he plays.
Right.
And I think, like, the one game he didn't play was that game against Charlotte where they got smoked by 30 points. So, shows you how important DeJounte is to this team. Now, B.I. is going to get traded in all likelihood. It's all a matter of what you can get for him.
The problem is, right, exactly. The value just isn't there for a guy that he's a good player.
The value was there.
Right.
But now it's significantly decreased, unfortunately. So,
because you still got to pay the dude, too.
Yeah, the Pelicans, they had their chance to move on from him when his value was a lot higher. And now it's kind of at an all-time low. But you still have to get something. Because he's not going to be on this team next year. He's not going to re-sign with this team. You have to move on from him. Now, depending on what you get for him, Bobby Marks, who I used that clip in the Sports Flash when we interviewed him a couple weeks ago, he said that you could potentially get a first-round pick in return for B.I. I'm all about it, right?
Sold, right?
Yeah, exactly. But he also did, Mike and I were talking about this yesterday, he had, you know, the 30 teams ahead of the trade deadline, which is now a week away from today. Like
TikTok,
a week.
TikTok.
Yeah, no, we're going to be counting the days until we get to that point because Bobby went on ESPN earlier and said that the Pelicans are 100% making a trade because they're still in the luxury tax and they want to dip below it. They're going to move on from somebody. Now, there's reports that Scoopy Robinson had come out and said that the Bucks are really interested in Jose Alvarado. I don't really see the point of moving on from Jose Alvarado unless, like, he's the only player that you move on from. But I think B.I. is going to be the guy that they move on from. And so Bobby in his article said that the Spurs were the potential team that we could be a trade partner with,
right,
where you get back in return Keldon Johnson, who's a solid player, solid forward for them. You get back Zach Collins, you know, kind of salary filler there, and then 2 second-round picks. If you could somehow maneuver that, and the second-round picks, you know, they're not the worst in the world. Like, it's Charlotte's second-round pick is one of the second-round picks that you get back. That's effectively a late first with how bad the Charlotte Hornets are. However, I'm of the, you know, mindset in the NBA, quality over quantity, right? So get rid of those 2 seconds, give me a first, and you got yourself a deal. So stuff like that, we'll see kind of how it all shapes up. We have a week to kind of dissect everything. Jake Madison's going to come on and talk with us in a little bit about what BI's value really is. But there's no way. Like, if Brandon Ingram, I'll say this right now because we're a week away from the trade deadline. If Brandon Ingram is still on this team next Thursday, after the deadline is passed, it's a failure. Just saying. Get something for him. Because you're not going to get anything for him when he walks in the offseason.
That's the problem, though. Like I said, I don't know exactly who is going to be interested in bringing him in, knowing they still have to pay him and give up whatever assets.
The early report was Toronto.
Right.
And if Toronto's intrigued with him, Toronto's got some interesting pieces. They got some interesting young talent and maybe draft capital that they could throw in. Figure something out there.
I mean, saw some rumblings, too, potentially even Warriors, maybe Lakers even bringing Brandon Ingram back. I'm definitely open to just about anything because it's just been a rough ending. It feels like a rough ending here with B.I. because we were talking about him getting traded at the beginning of this season.
Anything is better than nothing, Steve. That's how I view it.
Looking at, you mentioned Jose Alvarado being a trade rumor going to the Milwaukee Bucks. Would definitely hate to lose the Pel's big spark plug. I feel like anytime he's on the court, definitely he brings a different attitude to this team that they don't have.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks or whoever else is interested in Jose would have to overpay for a backup point guard. And, you know, listen, I'm not trading Jose for 2 second-round picks. I don't know about you, Steve, but there's no real point. Like, why would you give up a proven commodity in Jose Alvarado for 2 swings in the second round? You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense for me. Now, if he's the only player that they're moving on from and they decide not to trade Brandon Ingram for whatever forsaken reason, then that's just them dipping below the luxury tax and not having to pay it, which they have never done in their franchise history. But regarding B.I., I think that he's the one that's going to be moved. I would be surprised if, you know, Jose gets moved on top of Brandon. But there's, as Bobby Marks said, there's going to be at least one deal that the Pelicans have ahead of next week's trade deadline. So,
see, in my mind, I'm thinking a guy even like CJ McCollum could be on the table just because of a team that's looking for that extra piece for their playoff push. CJ is a great commodity for them. And I know it stinks to lose him here, but I would understand CJ if he wants to go ring chasing.
The Pelicans have to ask CJ. It, like, because he's come out and said that he likes it here. He's comfortable here. You know, do you want to be here like long term? We'll be happy to have you if so. If not, and if you want to go ring chase and go to a contender, we'll figure something out for you. And they'll do right by him, just like they did right by Drew Holiday when they sent him to the Bucks and he ended up winning a championship ring. So if CJ says to the Pelicans front office, move me ahead of the deadline, I want to go get a ring, they'll do something. And they should do something and do right by CJ, because he's been nothing but a true professional, a veteran pro for the 3 years that he's been here. By the way, all this doom and gloom, CJ's now the all-time leader in three-point shots made for the Pelicans.
Unbelievable,
in
right?
In 3 years in New Orleans, he surpassed Drew Holiday for that title. So congrats to CJ. Once again, I got nothing but good things to say about him. Unfortunately, you know, this year has just been decimated. So once again, if he wants to stay here, we're happy to have him. If he wants to go ring chasing somewhere, the Pelicans should do right by him.
No, like I mentioned, you definitely like a guy like that around. He's a great influence on your team, on and off the court. He does things. You keep hearing from Coach Willie Green and everybody else how that CJ is just the consummate professional, does things the right way, shows up early, leaves late, is willing to help out in any kind of way with this ball club. And like I said, it would sting to lose a guy like McCollum, but I could understand moving on from him because of the salary. And if he wants to go, like I said, try and get that championship, because, sorry, it ain't happening here in New Orleans.
Not this year, that's for sure.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll get into one of the other Pelicans' big pieces. Spoke today at practice in Zion Williamson, talking a little about his minutes restrictions, even playing back-to-backs. Some good stuff from Big Z when we get back right here on Sports Talk after the break on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We're continuing our discussion on the Pelicans. They've dropped their last four games, and looking at the team, they got a matchup tomorrow night coming up against the Boston Celtics. Should be a good one in the Smoothie King Center, a 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:30 pregame coverage on the big 870 AM. Zion Williamson, this month since coming back from his hamstring issue, he's been averaging just 26 minutes a game, and we're hoping we get to see the big guy getting more action down the stretch, and it sounds like he wants it as well, Charlie. We got to hear a little bit from him at practice today. The media asked him a bunch of questions leading up to this game against Boston. Let's take a listen to some of the top clips here of what Zion had to say to the media today at Pel's practice.
I saw you getting in some extra work here after practice. What is the process like for you right now with trying to make sure you're staying healthy?
I'm in a good spot in terms of health. Now it's just building off that, not easing up. Even though I'm playing in games now, still get a lot of conditioning, still get more work in, just trying to take my body to the next level.
Does it feel like you're moving around, you're feeling different than you have in the past?
Most definitely. I feel like I don't have to exert as much energy to get to a certain speed. I feel like my movements are more swifter, so I definitely see the difference.
Are you primarily putting in this work so you can have the stamina to play over 30 minutes a game?
I feel like I can play 30 minutes a game right now, but like I said, you know, based off the numbers with the team, just being smart and just working our way there.
Is that part tough for you, not being able to play?
It's tough. If anybody tells you it's not, they're lying. Because, man, when you're out there in the game and, you know, you find your rhythm and, you know, look up at the clock, it's like, oh, it's that 7 minute mark. It's that 8 minute mark. You know, I'm silly with it. I always ask Javonte Green, I'm like, you subbing in for me? You know I'm subbing in for you. But it's frustrating, but the fact that I'm out there, I'm grateful for it.
Do you feel like you kind of came with a different approach last night as far as being aggressive during that first stint before they pulled you at kind of like the 7 minute mark, kind of establishing yourself early on?
You know, that was something Coach brought to my attention. Because usually I try to get the lay of the land. If the attack's there, I'm going to attack. But, you know, based off my minutes, he said, just kind of be more aggressive with it.
See, what do you like about the on-the-court chemistry? You guys seem to be developing well, right, with Trey, DeJounte, and CJ, where you guys are getting your own. The offense usually is shining.
The chemistry is really building. The injury is really just bad timing. If we play like 10 to 15 games and then injuries happen, I feel like it'd be different. We'd be at a better point, but where we are now, the chemistry on and off the court is building. And, you know, when you're on the court, you're able to kind of see, okay, in certain moments, DeJounte likes to attack from here. Murph likes to get going from here. Even CJ, you just figure out, okay, what spots they like. So, yeah, the chemistry is definitely building.
And we've seen you kind of score regardless, but how much does being in this kind of shape help you be more impactful defensively?
It helps a lot. It helps a lot. because my movements are more swifter. So when someone try to change the direction, I can beat them to the spot.
When you look back to like years ago where you were and compared to where you are now, where do you feel like you made the most progress?
Definitely being able to switch 1-5 and my perimeter defense. Just kind of with my coaches and teammates trusting me to, if I do get switched on to a shifty guard or somebody considering an elite scorer, they don't feel like they have to help. Like, they feel like, nah, Z got it.
Is that what it kind of meant to you the other night when you really got the technical foul kind of taken up for you?
Like, I mean, y'all see what's going on. And that's all I'm going to say on that. But as far as coach doing that, I told him right after the game, that meant a lot to me. You know, him showing that emotion. I think the last time I seen him show that emotion on a non-foul was Minnesota last year.
How exciting is it for you that there's no back-to-backs coming up, that there's a stretch of, you know, 6, 7, 8 games in a row where you can just keep playing?
Let me make this clear to everybody out there. If I can play in the back-to-backs, I would. I physically, yes, I can. But I work for the Pelicans. They have decided that based off the numbers, you know, it's not smart to do that right now. So, you know, if that's what they feel, I'm rocking with them on that. But yes, if I could play in a back-to-back, I would.
One question about Boston. How important was it, just that extra defensive effort you guys played with against Boston, you know, over there? And how important is that going to be for tomorrow?
Boston is they're the reigning champs. It feels like when they have 5 people on the court, all 5, you know, are a threat to score. So, and playing a team like that, everybody has to be on their, you know, P's and Q's, especially when you're switching or anything. And really, you just try to be physical, try to get them out their game. But, you know, it's easier said than done.
That was Zion Williamson at today's Pelicans practice. Thought it was very interesting to hear him talking about how he wants to play in the back-to-backs, but he works for the Pelicans, and they say that's a no-go. We'll get into more of that when we take this break. Getting back with Locked On Pelicans podcast host Jake Madison right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Pels Power Hour continues here on Sports Talk. Now talking with Locked On Pelicans podcast host Jake Madison. Jake, how you been doing today, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on to talk some hoops here.
Appreciate it for sure. We just listened to the Zion Williamson audio after today's practice where he was talking about the want to play in back-to-back games for this team right now, but basically saying he's an employee of the Pelicans and they're holding him back at the moment, so he's just listening to what they're saying. What do you make of that? Is it basically the team just trying to protect him from injuries? Is it being maybe coddled too much?
You know, I think this is them just kind of trying to protect Zion, maybe even just from himself. And I do think it's worth mentioning that, you know, after that media availability where he was talking, he said, you know, I'm rocking with them on that decision. He didn't seem upset about that decision or anything like that. And I think this was just, you know, a chance for him to maybe clear the air a little bit to a lot of fans who were wondering why he was maybe not playing on back-to-backs, things like that, wondering if it's him being lazy, given kind of the reputation that he has. And, you know, one thing I can say for certain is this is a guy who wants to play basketball. I don't think there's ever been a period, despite all of the off-court stuff, where he's never wanted to be on the court hooping. And so this was a way for him to kind of show that. And if you're the Pelicans, look, you're not in the playoff hunt. There's no reason to risk any sort of long-term injury to him on the second night of a back-to-back. And it's less about conditioning and more about recovery. One of the things you've seen a lot of teams around the league do, and Zion talked about the numbers kind of are dictating this. They use a lot of like high-end technology to measure fatigue, seeing if guys are their usual selves. I'll have them jump on mats and things like that that can measure the force. And when those numbers come back lower, it shows the guys maybe a little bit more tired. That can lead to an increase of injury risk. And that's the Pelicans, I think, really just trying to limit that right now in a season where you don't need to take those kind of risks. If they were in playoff contention, would this be a different story? And I think it might be. I think this is them just thinking long-term in a season where, yeah, they should be thinking long-term.
Jake, before we get into the trade deadline, which is 1 week away, I want to get your thoughts on the Boston Celtics, this game tomorrow night in the Smoothie King Center. I know the Pels and Celtics recently played a matchup that was very, very tight. The Pels lose by 1 point, kind of a heartbreaker. CJ McCollum misses the layup late. I think that's the right game. Anyways, so they're coming to the Smoothie King Center for this matchup on Friday night. Just want to kind of get your thoughts on that matchup against, you know, the defending champs before we do a deep dive on the trade deadline, which is officially 1 week away.
Yeah, look, this one's going to come down to the three-point line. Boston's more beatable this year than they were a year ago. They've been a little bit up and down, especially in the new year so far. So you can go on out and win this game, and you're correct. It was the one where CJ McCollum missed a buzzer-beating layup right at the end when they could have and should have maybe won that game without Zion Williamson. Or Zion Williamson did play in that game, I think. I can't remember now. So they're competitive, but this is going to come down to three-point shooting. Boston shoots an absolute ton of threes. They're taking over 48 threes per game. That's first in the league. New Orleans, in their loss to Dallas the other night, couldn't really even get to like 35 threes. This one could simply be a math battle where if the Celtics are making threes and the Pelicans are making twos, even if you're going shot for shot with them, you're falling behind every possession. They're going to need to get the threes up. They're going to need to make those threes if they want to have a chance to win this game.
Charlie mentioned, Jake, the trade deadline a week away, and I guess the biggest name or the most likely to be traded name is Brandon Ingram, who we haven't seen in God knows the last time he was in action for this squad.
December 7th, Steve.
Okay, Charlie's got to embrace
it. It's almost been 2 months since he's been out with an ankle sprain. So,
can we expect him to be on the move, or are we just going to see him continuing to rot on the bench as a in street clothes 2.0?
Yeah, good question. You know, I talked about on Locked On Pelicans just last week. I think we might have seen him play his final game in a Pelicans uniform. But I also could mean that if he doesn't get traded, I think he's obviously the guy they're looking to try and move. But the trade market for him is just not developed. And if the Pelicans wanted to come to an agreement on some sort of extension, pay him the money that he wants, they could have done that by now. So it's very clear they're looking to move on from Brandon Ingram just for contractual reasons, more so than anything else. And there is a questionable fit between him and Zion Williamson, I think, but no one's really biting. And I think that's going to make it really tough to get a deal done before the trade deadline. And now things are kind of have a wrench thrown in with the De'Aaron Fox trade request from the Sacramento Kings. You know, a team like the San Antonio Spurs that might've had some interest in Brandon Ingram before certainly aren't going to make a move for Ingram until they figure out what's going on with De'Aaron Fox, whether that's getting him now or even getting him in the off season, which might then stop them from going after Brandon Ingram if they miss out on Fox at this trade deadline. And I think a number of teams are going to feel that way, that they're going to say, well, if that guy's available, we got to wait to exhaust all options with that first before we move on to our second choice guy or even third or fourth choice guy in Brandon Ingram. That to me says, I just don't see a trade. And if he's not traded,
ouch,
does he play again for this team is the big question, at least this season. And I think the answer could be no. You know, it's been almost 2 months since he's played a game. We know that he doesn't come back from injuries very quickly. You know, at this point, with the season being lost and the focus needing to be on next year, is it best to just shut him down? At this point, does he even want to play for the Pelicans again if he feels disrespected from them? And I definitely think that that could be a factor into this. You know, should he come back healthy after the trade deadline, with New Orleans really shifting their focus to next season, as they should? You have basically 30 games of preseason training camp next year to work through some things, to try different guys, to give some young guys some run and see who they are. Brandon Ingram's going to eat into those minutes. And if you're also actively trying to lose games, tanking here for one of the top draft picks, Ingram's going to help you win games. So it just does you no real good to play him. Now, if he's healthy, can they sit him? I'm not sure that they can. There's some league rules and stuff that gets involved in that. But those are the questions that the team is kind of facing right now, and that's where things could get messy. I never thought this was going to get messy leading up to the trade deadline where he might request a trade. You know, he recently switched to Clutch Sports as his representation. They tend to take a bit of a scorched earth approach. That he had no leverage to do anything like that here. But could it get messy after the trade deadline where maybe he does want to play to showcase his talent to get a, you know, a contract in the offseason, but that's not in the Pelicans' best interest? And that's where things might get a little bit heated, let's say.
Jake, I don't think it's as openly toxic as like the Anthony Davis situation was, obviously, but I think at this point, with everything that happened, and we talked to you multiple times last summer leading up into the season about the failure to get him on an extension and how both sides were just too far apart in contract talks, Brandon Ingram's not going to be here next year. So even if you don't get maximum value, because maximum value is already passed for this player, you still got to get something for him, don't you? Like, ahead of this deadline, I know that it's going to be about finding the right trade partner, but the fact that we've already kind of heard a little bit of buzz about Toronto potentially being interested, Bobby Marks had a great article on ESPN Plus about, you know, the 30 teams and what they could do ahead of next week's deadline, and he even included maybe San Antonio as a potential destination for Brandon Ingram in his services. But it just feels that if he's on this team, I agree with you 100%. I don't think he's going to play for the Pelicans again, and they may end up shutting him down if he doesn't get moved. But it just feels like a missed opportunity if you don't get something. And I know that they don't want to do pennies on the dollar, so to speak, but maybe get 50 cents on the dollar.
They'll get something for him. And, you know, even if that's in the offseason, there's only going to be one team with salary cap space, and that's the Brooklyn Nets. Free agency in the NBA doesn't exist like it did before. When, you know, when teams are discussing or pundits are discussing like a team needs expiring salary, you used to do that so that it would fall off your books, and then you had $40 million to spend in free agency, and you could go get a LeBron James and Amari Sotomayor, some of those other big names that we've seen move in free agency in the past. It just doesn't work like that. You know, this year with Paul George going to the Philadelphia 76ers was very much an outlier. It's all about extending guys and then trading them while they still have maximum value, something the Pelicans failed with Brandon Ingram here. But that's how that gets done. So if Ingram wants to go to a team and get paid more than $13 million a year because the Nets aren't signing him, he's going to need the Pelicans to sign and trade him there. And so that means you'll get something in return. Will it be good? Probably not. It might be pennies on the dollar, closer to that than 50 cents on the dollar, but you'll get something in return. And I don't really see a scenario where he just walks and the Pelicans get nothing. But you also want to make sure you get stuff back that you want in the first place too. You don't want to take on bad contracts. And I've seen the, you know, things with the Toronto Raptors. That RJ Barrett contract I don't find pretty good and wouldn't necessarily want that in a deal just to say that you got a player in return if it's going to hurt you more long term as you're trying to kind of avoid that with the Brandon Ingram situation right now. So that's kind of where the Pelicans find themselves with it. They'll get something. It just might not be good, and they just got to make sure they get stuff that they want versus stuff that they don't want just to help facilitate a trade.
There's plenty of rumors swirling, obviously, at this time of year because we're so close to the deadline. One of the reports I saw today from someone saying that Milwaukee Bucks have heavy interest in acquiring Jose Alvarado. Would it make any sense for this Pel squad to move on from a guy like Alvarado?
I mean, not if you're just only moving him. I don't think that makes any sort of sense, right? He's on a very good contract. He helps this team. He's beloved by his teammates.
Yeah.
That's the type of guy that you would throw into a deal that's like sweetener for another team just to get that deal like done. You know, where he's not the main piece, but if you include him in there, we'll say yes. And that's the way that they would throw him in a trade. He's pretty beloved by the organization. He's beloved by his teammates. He's just a hard worker that brings a type of energy that, look, the rest of the team often doesn't have. That, I think, is an important guy to keep. You don't just give up on those guys for no reason. If it's part of a larger deal that you think is like a paradigm shifter for you in terms of the player that you're getting back, that would be one thing. You saw that kind of with Larry Nance Jr. going to Atlanta in the DeJounte Murray trade. They loved Larry Nance Jr. here. We saw it with him, you know, starting the second half and playing all of those games last season. They didn't really want to include him in there, but that's the only way that you could get that deal done. That's where you'll see maybe Jose Alvarado get moved.
No, I agree, Jake, because just sending him off for like a deal with 2 second-round picks, or like, you already have the proven commodity in Jose Alvarado. You know what he provides this team. You know what, you know, he means to the community down here. People love him. His teammates love him. It just that doesn't make any sense. If you're just going to move on from him for just like a couple second round picks or anything like that, I don't really understand that report. Now, Steve and I were talking earlier as well, Jake, about CJ McCollum, because, you know, CJ, he set the record for franchise 3 points made last night. He's been here for 3 years. We love CJ. Steve and I have just praised his professionalism. He's a true pro down here. But we could, and this is my speculation, if he goes to the Pelicans and it's kind of a similar situation of Jrue Holiday, where he wants to go, you know, win a championship somewhere, you know, the Pelicans, I think they would be right to do right by CJ, so to speak, and potentially move on from him. But have you heard anything about CJ and, you know, his time here, if he wants to stay here? Because I think if he wants to stay here as well, it's like the flip side of the coin. You know, the Pelicans would be happy to have him. Pelicans fans love CJ. So, you know, just your thoughts on CJ McCollum ahead of this deadline as well.
Are you sure Pelicans fans love CJ McCollum? Because my mentions after
they should
definitely say otherwise. But I agree with you. Like, he has been very good here. He shot the three ball particularly well. He's been one of the guys that's just consistently showed up and been a professional. And that's something that's been lacking on this team, particularly from the star player in Zion Williamson. And don't forget, CJ McCollum was the guy that got Zion to return to the team that year that Zion was out the whole season. It was him calling him out on TV that got Zion to be like, all right, I need to get back. I need to start kind of doing the things I need to be doing. And that was an important thing. So CJ has meant a lot to this team. You know, I think if the right offer came through, New Orleans would trade him. I definitely think that's something they should really consider. I just don't know if he has a ton of market out there with that contract that he's making this year and next year at $30+ million. You're seeing the new collective bargaining agreement, the new CBA, really scare off a lot of teams from those high-priced veteran players. That's going to kind of limit certain aspects, I think, that you could get in return for him. But if the right deal was there, I think New Orleans should jump on that, because look, there's a trade coming. They're going to make a deal before the trade deadline because they're a little over $2 million into the luxury tax, and they're not going to pay that, nor should they pay that right now. So this is a team that will get a deal done. I'd rather you make a bigger move like that with CJ McCollum in a year that doesn't matter for you anymore, as opposed to attaching second-round picks to a minimum contract, and that's how you get under the luxury tax. Can you do it in a way that helps you long-term versus just ducking under the tax this season? And CJ McCollum feels like the best move that they could make for something like that.
Jake, definitely always appreciate your time. Always great knowledge, and hopefully we get some good basketball the rest of the stretch here with the Pels. We don't really, you know, not expecting a miracle here to get back into the play-in hunt even, but just want to, me and Charlie have talked about wanting to see, just play some competitive good basketball. And even last night's game against the Mavericks, there wasn't really defense going on, but it was still an entertaining game.
It was like shot for shot type of thing.
Oh, it was fun. Look, that's the perfect kind of loss. Zion played well. Your star players played well. It was competitive, and you lost right at the end. And look, for lottery and tanking purposes, that's great. For trade value of guys, that's great. Just for basketball reasons, not being down 15 was fun to watch. It's a good loss. I think you'll start to see more of those as the season goes on.
Thank you again, Jake. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, Jake.
Great. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
For all things Pelicans, subscribe to the Locked On Pelicans podcast on the Odyssey app. That's part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Steve.
Your team every day.
I got beef with Pelicans fans that dislike CJ McCollum. You're going to hate the guy that shows up every night and is actually a professional? Get out of here, man. Like, that's terrible. I love CJ. I mean, CJ's got all my respect. He's a true pro. And listen, like, I would be fine with keeping CJ here. As Jay kind of mentioned there,
I think they look at the price tag too.
The contract is one thing that's right. Worth considering, because he's making over $30 million this year and next year. He's under contract for 2025, 26 as well. So, you know, if he wants to stay here, I'm all about it. But people, I mean, listen, Twitter's one thing, because Jake, yes, I'm sure that he sees that on social media all the time, that, you know, people will be pounding on CJ after a bad game. I just can't do it. Man, like, he's the one that's out there every single night. It's like DeJounte, too. It's like two veterans in the backcourt that you can trust on every single night to be out there and giving their all. I will never hate CJ McCollum.
It's going to be interesting to see what is going to transpire here, because like Jake said, and we've heard a few other people talk about, there is going to be a move from this Pels squad. It's just, what is it? Who is it?
Yeah, it's
and
playing
what are you going to get?
It's playing like a guess who. Is it going to be CJ? Is it going to be B.I.? Is it going to be Jose? And I'm of the same opinion of Jake. I'm not trading Jose just by himself just to get under the luxury tax. You may have to attach CJ.
That makes sense if you're going to do like a – to sweeten the deal.
Right. You may have to attach, you know, Jose to a CJ deal or a BI deal. But you're not just going to do it by itself, I wouldn't think, unless a team gives like a first-round pick for Jose, which I don't expect that to happen. So, you know, a couple things to keep in mind. It's like a guessing game right now of who's going to get moved ahead of the deadline. We have ideas on who it may be. It's just a matter of finding the right deal and finding the package that you're looking for.
Want to hear from you on the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. We're here on Sports Talk till 8 p.m. Coming back with more right after this, though, on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, some hoops action going on right now that we got eyes on. The 7th-ranked LSU women's basketball team is taking on number 13, Oklahoma. There's about 3 minutes left till halftime there. Tigers up 43-35 over the Sooners right now. I'll definitely be keeping tabs on that to see what the Lady Tigers do in that matchup against the Sooners. Some news, NFL news today regarding the Saints. The Dallas Cowboys interviewed running backs coach Derek Foster for that same position with Dallas. He spent one season in New Orleans, which has yet to make a head coaching hire. I think we're still waiting to find out what happens after the Super Bowl with a guy like Kellen Moore. Foster has extensive experience in the college ranks, but only 4 seasons of NFL experience. He began his coaching career with the Chargers in 2021, overseeing Austin Eckler and the team's running backs. Then he left when the Chargers hired Jim Harbaugh as their new head coach last year. Jeff Blasco served as the Cowboys running back coach and one game coordinator this past season. So we're seeing a few assistants taking either job interviews or positions elsewhere with the uncertainty, I guess, of the, you know, not knowing if their job is safe with the Saints, considering a new head coach is coming in. It doesn't seem like that pick is going to be a guy like Darren Rizzi, because you are losing all these assistants, or at least assistants are pursuing other teams of interest, because you would think that, you know, Riz would have a relationship with these guys and would want to keep some of them around, a la a Clint Kubiak, who's now with the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, Kubiak with the Seahawks, Michael Hodges, the linebackers coach, went to Cincinnati as well, Steve. I agree with you. We had Hollywood call in, our boy Hollywood from Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And he called in and asked about, you know, the coaching search. Mike and I agree, and I think you agree as well. Like, they can't announce it until after the Super Bowl. But if it is not Kellen Moore, it would be, like, world-shocking for us. Like, we are fully bought in and think that it's going to be Kellen Moore. That's why we talked with Babe Laufenberg earlier on the show about him, because he's got a great connection with him as the former Cowboys – or he is the Cowboys radio color analyst. And, you know, as from his time as a playing days in Dallas to being a quarterback's coach to being an offensive coordinator, all the connections that he has to the Cowboys franchise – it was a good conversation that we had in the 4 o'clock hour with Babe, who just said that everyone is a first time coach at some point,
right?
Like, that people can be worried about, you know, the first time head coach from coming from a coordinating job. But, you know, once again, everyone's a first timer at some point.
Did he touch on at all why the Dallas Cowboys didn't interview Kellen Moore at all or show interest? Because that to me was a huge head scratcher, considering he was a guy that was in their building.
So Schottenheimer was their guy. You know, it's an interesting hire for them. And it's a hire that Cowboys fans, one of my good buddies is a Cowboys fan. I've told this story before. He cannot stand the process that they went through to figure out that Brian Schottenheimer was going to be their next head coach. Like, they just, you know, they made the decision to move on from McCarthy, who is clearly a more proven guy and proven commodity than someone like Schottenheimer, and they didn't go out of the building to find their next head coach. They're just like, all right, we're going to promote the OC. We'll see if it works for them, but a lot of Cowboys fans are incensed with how that hiring process went, because it just seems like it's not even like they settled. They just... it was a weird decision to go with Brian Schottenheimer. I don't really understand it.
Definitely a head scratcher. And like I said, I just don't even understand why they wouldn't have picked up the phone and done even a Zoom call with Kellen Moore, considering he's a guy that knows it well. We're going to take a break, be back with more Sports Talk right after this. Get into some Senior Bowl Soundbank after the news.